Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Sally has shared with us very eloquently the message of the scripture today about the Palm Sunday, the first Palm Sunday, and she shared that beautifully over at Oakview as well, so I was glad to everybody else got to hear that this morning. That sets the scene, doesn't it, of Christ entering the city in the triumphant way that he did, and helps us to focus and think of how we might receive Christ as our King. As the week unfolds, we see a little turning of a lot of those hearts who received the King with rejoicing and praise on Sunday. On Monday, Jesus went into the temple and cleansed the temple. On Tuesday, he was also teaching in the temple again, and he gave the great commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourself. The laws that had been so easily laid aside for all the other rules and regulations that people wanted to follow instead. On Wednesday, he was questioned about authority, and he said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." On Thursday was a little bit different, though. He ended his teachings in the temple and gathered with several of his best friends in the upper room and set apart some bread and wine to be for us the body and blood of Christ, and instituted a sacrament that we continue to this day in a way of receiving Christ. And then he got down on the floor and washed his disciples' feet and told everybody that this is how we serve as Christians. Not necessarily that particular act, but that approach to one another, to receive one another and be in a way that we are a servant to one another. And not only to each other in this room or in this organization or in the body of Christ, but that's our bearing to the whole world. Emulating Christ in his servant ministry to the world, which is, you know, how we receive him, don't we? We receive him as the one who came to serve us and to be a minister to us. We receive what he offers us, and it saves us. It reshapes us. It gives us life. Then as they left that place, they went out toward the garden, and he gave his final discourse, a summary of the things that he had been telling them and teaching them all along, the things that were most heavy on his heart to share. And among those, the highlight was the mandate that he gave to all who love him, the command to love one another as Christ has loved us. This, he said, would be the mark of whether we were truly his disciple or not, by whether we loved one another or not. And the purpose is that our joy may be complete. And then they went to the garden and prayed as Jesus sweat great drops of blood, and the angels came and ministered to him. And then he was betrayed by one of his best friends in the garden, handed over to the soldiers of the Roman guard who had come with the religious leaders, arrested, and spent the night in mock trials And the next morning, he was presented to the crowd in all of the humiliation and torture that he had experienced, wearing the crown of thorns. And the crowd, who had on Sunday sang Hosanna in the highest, now that same crowd, many of those people being the same people, were crying, "Crucify him." And he was condemned to death on the cross. There are several steps along the way, and I have those in the bulletin. You can read them. We'll go back through them Friday at the service too and read those scriptures. But let's just reflect on them for a moment as I read the biblical stations. Jesus prays alone. Jesus is arrested. Sanhedrin tries Jesus. Pilate tries Jesus. Pilate sentences Jesus. Jesus wears the crown. Jesus carries the cross. Simon carries the cross. Jesus speaks to the women. Jesus is crucified. The criminals speak to Jesus. Jesus speaks to Mary and John. Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus is laid in the tomb. While on the cross, Jesus made seven statements that are recorded eternally in the scriptures. And the first one was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." To the thief on the cross, the penitent thief, Jesus said, "Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." To his mother, Mary, and to the disciple, John, "Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother." "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" "I thirst." "It is finished." "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then Jesus' body, after he had given up the spirit, was, and his, as we all do, our lay aside our earthly tabernacle and our spirit returns to God who gave it. His earthly tabernacle was laid in a tomb. And next Sunday, then, we celebrate the resurrection on the third day, as promised all along. And that's the best part of heaven. That's the best of the best. As the children shared John 3:16 a while ago, eternal life. The message of all of the events of Holy Week, the first message is, blessed be the King. We join our voices with those on the first Palm Sunday who praised the Lord as he became their King because they wanted him to be the King. They praised him. They opened their hearts to him. They had asked him many times before, as he taught, to be their leader. They practically drafted him into this position in the first place because of all the things that he was doing. But with them, we also need to be aware how easily we can be turned to those who would turn against him, who would forsake him and leave him behind. We hope we wouldn't be, but they were. And so it's a warning to us today too, isn't it? To continue in all circumstances to bless and praise Christ. Jesus gave peace. Not as the world gives peace, he said, but peace I give you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give. It's that peace the scripture speaks of, peace that passes all understanding. Even when maybe things are happening and we think we shouldn't have peace, yet we still do. It's a miracle. Peace. Even in the most trying of circumstances. It's a heavenly, divine peace among all creation that we're invited into. All creatures of our God and King. And we sing glory in the highest. Because our thoughts are set in lofty places when we are focused on the cross. When we're focused on Christ and what He has opened to us. And when we're accepting His invitation and we place Him as the King and Lord of our lives, then we are looking for the best of all possibilities in every situation. The highest, the most lofty state of being in this life and in the life of the world to come. Part of that discourse on the way out to the from instituting the sacrament until he went out to the garden, one of the most memorable parts of that, in addition to the mandate, is where he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And then I will come and bring you into those lofty heavenly places." So that's our invitation out of the passage today, is that we will receive Jesus Christ as our King, as our Lord, as our Savior, and receive His teachings as our way of life, and that we will receive His mandate, His commandment, to love each other and the world around us as Christ has already and continues to love us. In the name of Jesus, amen.